What is real? What can be made real? It's all on the other side of the story. Embark on an epic journey with Dreamland's World Walkers. Immerse yourself in a world where reality and fantasy intertwine. Follow the legendary dragon warrior Tiktokta as he carves his way through conquest and deceit. Crafted by Stelios Pliachikas and Thanos Kyragis, this 96-page action-packed dark fantasy graphic novel is the third part of the Dreamland saga. Perfect for fans of God of War, Berserk, and The Sandman, Dreamland's World Walkers is here to take you away. Support Dreamlands on Kickstarter until April 7th.
So we are with Maria and Coco. Hi, Coco.
Hello.
How you doing? So you want to tell us a little bit about Coco as we get started here?
Yeah, absolutely. She's a rescue we got probably 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
She's been with us ever since. She's older and grumpy, but she's a good girl.
Well, she's kind of grumpy. I like she's cautious. She's looking at me kind of like, who are you and why are you petting me? But it feels kind of nice, so I'm just gonna. Yeah, exactly. It's totally it. Yeah. How are you doing today?
Yeah, she's definitely not shy.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
So, hi, Coco. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
It's been an interesting couple days, but we won't talk about that stuff. But I mean, I've been, as we talk off the air, it's been crazy because now I'm at the work, can I make money at will phase as a freelancer?
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't think I. You, when you start, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get here. Now you're like, no, I'm here. How did this happen? Right. So it's almost like magic, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And only in 3 years?
Yeah.
It's incredible. That's very fast.
You wish it was faster. Like, it's one of those things in life where you're like, come on, get me to all the good stuff, and you realize, and then this is me, like, I think it's one of those side effects of being middle-aged, is that you get to the point where your patience isn't quite what it was like when you were younger.
That's fair.
Right? You're like, come on now. Oh, wow.
Sorry,
she's like, pet me.
Yeah, she's also at that age where she's not as patient anymore.
Yeah, no, she's like, pet me now. Yeah. So, folks, this episode is going to be me petting a dog while I'm talking to Miss Maria here. So, you are a poet extraordinaire, correct?
I would not call myself that.
Why not?
I mean, I only really started writing and reciting poetry this year with the amazing Poetry and Voice team and their help.
Okay, so fun. Okay, there's the no. So this is me. This is me being a creative for a very long time. So I'm not like, the thing is, right, when you do creative work, any kind of creative work, there's two parts to it, right?
Yeah.
There's the techniques and the storytelling stuff, which you're like, okay, I'm new with this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know fully what I'm doing, but there's the other half of it, which is even more important. Right, as Coco's like, pet me now. But the more important stuff is, every story has been told in some way or another.
Yeah.
What hasn't been told is your interpretation of your experience of the event. So a lot of times, and this is a weird thing that you have to kind of realize as a creative. People aren't just coming to listen to the story you're telling.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming to listen to you tell the story.
That's a cool insight.
Yeah. Because it's not just, so I've been doing this podcast for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. 10 years, 10 years, 1,000 episodes almost as of this moment. There is 952 official episodes.
Wow. Right now.
Yeah. Right. 48 to go before I call it a move on to the next phase of it. And the thing is, which is this, folks, it's kind of it. But one of the things is, I've interviewed people that are really successful and people who are just getting started, and the biggest thing I've learned about people that are successful, the vast majority of them are amazing people, and they really are. And the thing is, they owned that part of it, right? They own that part of it. When you find the confidence, right, to say, like, this is my stuff and I think it's pretty good, you're going to find you're going to draw more people to you. Because mm-hmm. what happens is, it's the old concept of you're letting yourself shine, and you're encouraging other people as a result to kind of find you, because you're saying, here I am, and this is what I do, and I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Even if there is a little hyperbolicness to it, there's a little bit of ego into it. A little ego's okay.
Yeah.
Little ego's okay. Now, saying, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, maybe, unless you're a pro wrestler,
yeah.
maybe you shouldn't do that. But when you're starting, the biggest lesson to learn is figuring out what you really care about. Honestly. Because that's going to be the stuff that's going to resonate the most when you talk.
It's very wise.
Yeah.
It's very wise. I'll have to think about that.
Well, no, I mean, how old are you?
So, 18, I just turned 18.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday. So, yeah, at 18, it's like, I'm 41. It took me, let's see, 20 years to figure that out? I'm trying to save you time, that's what I'm trying to do.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, save you some time, right? Technique's important in terms of it making your vision clear of what you're trying to convey across, mm-hmm. right? The technique's super important for that. But what you care about, that passion, that cannot be duplicated. And what makes it really interesting is as you evolve as a person,
mm-hmm.
what you care about gradually changes too.
Wow.
Sometimes.
Words of the wise.
Sometimes. And that's why when you look back at some of your earlier stuff, you'll cringe. You'll be like, oh my God, why did I say that? But at the same time, at that time, that was what you cared about. That was the best you could do. You were coming out of your head. I guess that's the thing, right? When you start, you're very much in your head. How to tell the best story.
Yeah.
It's not about telling my story yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I understand. I do think when I'm writing poetry, I think of like how to write the best story rather than how to write my story.
Yeah.
I do think that sounds very much like what I do.
Yeah. Well, no, it very common, especially when you're starting. Yeah. That's a very common thing because again, you're figuring stuff out. You're trying what works for you. Do you read poetry?
I do. I read a lot of poetry. Yeah. It's like one of my favorite pastimes.
What do you read?
I just bought a book by Charlie Petch, who's one of my favorite poets, and I actually did one of their poems for Poetry and Voice. I read a lot of Harry Baker. I read a lot of English poets, a lot of like kind of stuff on Twitter. And
oh no, it's cool. I'm curious
to think of names.
So when I was reading poetry when I was a kid, it was like the longer form Gilgamesh epics. It was Calvin Miller. It was Samuel Taylor Coleridge. It was E.E. Cummings was my short form guy I read. The other person I read was T.S. Eliot.
Cool.
Right. So I read a lot of like those big epic long poets.
Yeah.
And if you look at my books, there's a lot of these big epic long poetry there. Right. So. So it definitely influenced me. So I'm very, like I said, it's a very curious. So what, are you enjoying it or are you?
Yeah, I mean, I love poetry. I love reading poetry. Kind of like, I think the more I read poetry, the more I understand how to write poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I more understand things about myself that I don't think I would have known otherwise. It mm-hmm. just, I think it explores different aspects of me as an individual, especially because I'm still growing, I'm still kind of learning to be an adult and because I just started, but
well, I mean, that's again, I'm not trying to like foretell your wonderful story, but the next thing about the 5 years is like you're in like the fun phase of I can throw spaghetti at the wall and figure out what sticks.
Yeah,
right. The biggest challenge you're gonna have, and I find this again, there's phases. So I'm only going through phases in my life. I wasn't as confident as I could be until I started, until I was in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's when I started, like, really, like, you stop caring as much. And that's what probably the hardest thing to learn is when we're young, we kind of, like, because of how we grew up and the environment we're in, we kind of have this, like, armor we built for ourselves that works and gets by.
Mm-hmm.
But we outgrow that armor. Right, that's what happens. We outgrow that armor and we can't carry it anymore. We have to let it go. And the terrifying part is when you let it go, well, who am I going to take this armor away, right?
Yeah.
Right? Who am I going to take this armor away? So what's going to happen as you get older / wiser, question mark on the wiser thing, is you'll find that when you're doing what you're doing is you're going to find your own answers to your own questions. And when you find them, you're going to be like, okay, now am I confident? Well, can I take a stand on what I believe in? And that is the heart, like, that's the hardest thing at the path of any kind of art form you do is, like, can you be, are you brave enough and strong enough to be vulnerable?
That's deep.
Yeah, so you're like, whoa.
Very insightful.
It's just that, again, because the journey, again, when no matter, the big important thing, again, this is good, I said this already about telling your own story. No matter where you are on the journey, you're writing about what you care about.
Yeah.
In some form or fashion. Are you? So I'm gonna go with music. Music is probably one of the more well known versions of poetry. I don't know if you read any of the music lyrics at all.
Oh yeah, I love music.
Yeah. So one of my favorite lyricists is Eminem.
Yeah.
Because you read his bars, his actual bars.
Yeah.
There's so many. He is the master of entendre. Right. If you read his lines, they're very crass, some of them. But if you actually read how he does it and put it together, you look at the imagery in your head and the imagery he puts out there and the layers. Like you look at his, like they've analyzed his bars. It's just what he puts out there is so next level, right? But it's also work. Yeah, but not just his technique. His best stuff, he cares.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the other one because I've recently become a Taylor Swift fan. Happened. So I became a Swiftie.
We all become Swifties at some point.
Well, yes. Anyway, I was cleaning up my storage locker the other day. I have her first album, her legit first album. I was actually surprised.
You can really sell that for a lot of money now.
I don't want to. No, the one I'm looking, the only album I'm having a hard time finding right now is Speak Now. Your third one?
Yeah.
That's the hard one to find. But the thing is, whether it's Eminem or Taylor Swift or anyone really successful. Okay, Taylor Swift is in the hardest genre part of the music. It's love songs, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, well, love songs are easy. No, they're not, because look at what she's competing against. Ariana Grande, Beyonce,
yeah.
Avril Lavigne. There are a ton of people in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you're right?
Yeah.
So she's the best, or at least the most popular at the moment. Why? And the reason it goes back to, again, that authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
She tells stories about her life. Now, sometimes maybe she tells a little too much in some situations.
Yeah.
But again, that willingness to be open, that willingness to be vulnerable, that willingness to say, this is my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she sells. It's not because, again, she's got a great voice, she's a great singer, she's great on the guitar, she has skills. There's no, again, she's undeniably good that way. But so is Avril Lavigne, so is Beyonce, so is Ariana, so is Nicki Minaj, so is so many others. I'm not, like, Pink. So many other people I'm not naming.
Mm-hmm.
But she's it right now. Because, you know, she may not be number one forever and ever and ever, right, because there's always competition. Right? Her voice is going to guarantee an audience, and people will stay with her. My least favorite performance, there was this poet that really did a lot of, like, anti-Taylor Swift stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was my least favorite performance, because it was, because I always thought, I always think, if I'm gonna bash somebody,
mm-hmm.
if I'm gonna bash, like, it almost came off like, you're a fan, but you're mad that she can do something that you can't. That's how I interpreted that performance. And it was like, why are you talking about that? Why not just do the performances you care about? Like, you really care about.
Yeah.
Because that, you don't need to be her. You can just be you. And that will be just fine. Right? And that's, again, that's maybe my opinion on the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. And I realize I'm talking an awful lot in this conversation.
Sorry, I'm not a big chatter.
No, it's okay. So. No.
Unless you have so much insightful, I just feel like I'm like a sponge. I'm just absorbing all this
wealth. Yeah. So all I'm saying is, like, with you, right? Like, look at, again, when you look at people that are really popular and that really are really polarizing.
Yeah.
It's when it's their most authentic selves, the good and the bad. Like again, some people just polarize because they stand for what they stand for, or they don't stand for what they stand for, and that's just the way it goes. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just the way it goes. And but again, so it's finding your voice, your story, your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
What do you care about? What matters to you? And you craft your stories that way. Your voice will go to your performance, and your voice will just go to a completely another level.
It's a really cool way of thinking about it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll definitely think about that more going forward when I'm writing poetry.
Yeah. Again, some of it you'll be like, you'll look at it and go, what was I thinking? Some of it, what was I thinking? But it'll teach you, right? What matters to you, right?
Absolutely.
Right, what matters to you. And then, and again, and some of it you're going to be like, nope, not doing that again. Some of it you're going to be like, no, this is something people connect with. Really, 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 really connect with. And, I mean, and then the other part is, and you get older, this comes with a lot of practice, is what's the story you want to tell? Like, how do you want to tell that story? Like, mm-hmm. for example, typically, do you read any, like, YA or any fiction at all? Like bigger fiction?
Yeah, I have a lot of books.
What do you read? I'm curious.
I read a lot of biographies, but I do read I like fiction on like fantasy and murder mysteries.
They're not that different in some ways, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you look at fantasy in terms of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
You're world building. You're building a world. You're telling like almost you have a meta story, which is the world you're in.
Yeah.
And you have the story with the characters currently in that story.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. And that's how a fantasy is built. Mystery is, you're building almost like a game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're almost
it's
building.
Fun.
Yeah, no, totally. No, I love games. Games to me are the, so one of my favorite things I used to do when I used to do a conference at Wentworth Collide, I would do a Dr. Seuss off.
Oh, cool.
So I had, watching grown-ass adults have a recess panel with Dr. Seuss in their own. You have not lived until you've heard Doc Cat in the Hat sing in an operatic voice. And you have not.
Crazy.
No, it was fantastic. Or my other personal favorite was Fox and Sox in a Valley Girl voice. It was fantastic.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, it's. But again, that permission. There is not a soul alive. If I go, hey, listen, I'm going to sell you something. You're going to have that inner coin. It's like, oh no, what does he want?
Mm-hmm.
But if I go to you, want to play a game? Different reaction. You'd be like, I'm not necessarily going to say yes, but I am interested to know what game are we playing.
Yeah.
Right? You're interested,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's not a soul alive that doesn't want to play.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's totally. So if you tell, again, if you make a story that you can play with the audience and go with. Cool thing about watching poetry perform, when I've watched you guys,
mm-hmm.
you're playing with the emotions of the audience.
Yeah.
That's part of your, how do I put this? I don't want to say shtick as in like, you know, you're, but I mean, it's part of the charm of reading a live poet is, can you make someone move someone to tears? Can you make someone do the snappy thing? Which, right.
Can you make someone laugh?
Yeah, you can make... Yeah, which is great. I think that's the. And you like to do that a lot.
I do. I love poetry that brings joy, especially like I just feel like our world right now. There's so many things that are so sad, and there's so many things that I mean, and it's not a bad thing. I think it's important that we talk about this, and it's important we have poetry about it. But I do like poetry that does cover that in a lighthearted tone.
So, have you ever read? So my favorite like. Stuff that makes me laugh. Fantasy fiction?
Mm-hmm.
Terry Pratchett.
No, I don't know who Terry Pratchett is.
Okay, you need to fix that.
Okay.
So he made this fantasy world where the world's on a disc and a bunch of elephants carry it in outer space. And it's nuts. Like, it's silly, it's fun. anybody but the Rincewind stories. Like, read one Rincewind, that's fine, but pick any of the other ones.
Yeah.
They are genuinely hilarious. They're the best kind of humor. Humor, in my opinion, I read the comic book Watchmen, said it best. Good, great comedy makes you think.
Yeah.
Right? Makes you think about the world in a different
absolutely.
Light. Right? So, Pratchett was, like, Kurt Vonnegut's great. Like, he's also really good at it. Mm-hmm. But Pratchett, man, is just, he was the man. And he's one of those, like, if you like fantasy, you'll find him, you'll be like, oh my god, this is amazing. Right? Because he's really good at, he's good at the balance. Because laughter is interesting in the sense that humor is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So what's funny, so it's funny to you, may not be funny to anybody else.
No.
Have you bombed on stage with that sometimes?
I have, yeah. Especially like with my poems, like we had to recite them for a lot of different groups of people with the Poetry and Voice team. And it was funny because when I recited at the festival, there was a lot of laughter, there was a lot of reactions from the crowd, especially with how to tell if a poem was trans or not, because it is about slam poets. And there was laughter and there was like, ooh, but when you do it for like high school students, or if you do it for sometimes other groups of people, don't understand the same humor, or it just doesn't hit the same way because
different
audiences. Yeah. It's just so interesting. It's so unique. It's fun.
Humor, in my opinion, is the second hardest thing to write. The hardest is pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
Humor is the second hardest because everybody looks for a laugh. I found my secret to humor.
Mm-hmm.
Put bad jokes in on purpose.
Oh, that's cool.
So my best example of this, I used to read, so I'm a big comic book guy, still am.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Peter Parker, when he's fighting crime, tells all these jokes to himself. The thing is, it's how he compensates because he's scared out of his mind, because it takes a special kind of lunatic to put on a mask and a costume and fight crime. It takes a really special kind of lunatic, and he, in his head, there's a little bit of Sandy going, what the f*** are you doing, right?
Yeah.
So he tells jokes to compensate. Now my favorite version of this is a gentleman by the name of Peter David. He deliberately threw bad jokes in that only Peter would find funny.
Hmm.
Because what happens is you get people to groan. It's almost like, think of it like you're in your music, you're finding your pitch.
Yeah.
Just put a few groaners in there.
Hmm.
Put a few really good jokes in there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a roller coaster, right? You put a good joke, yeah!
Yeah.
Tell Stinker, oh. Tell another good joke, yeah! Not as bad as Stinker.
Yeah.
Like, you go, eh. You go, eh. And eventually what happens when you get, and you know, it's when you get the crowd really going, it doesn't matter what you say anymore. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You could literally speak Klingon on stage. You could literally do that. They would laugh. They would just laugh.
Yeah.
Because once the rhythm of the laugh of the room is figured out in terms of what makes them laugh,
mm-hmm.
and you got it, you can say anything you want. You can't do anything wrong anymore because now you know the role. You've mastered the roller coaster, all right? So what you got to do is you can't just write all good jokes, because if you do, they're not going to be able to tell the difference.
No.
In the performance. But if you tell, you throw a few terrible jokes. They can be puns. Because puns are, all right? I wouldn't do a whole thing of puns. Maybe like one or two.
Yeah.
Like a pun, something that's only funny to you.
Yeah.
Right? Huh. And then suddenly, you know, because again, you'll hear it. The crowd will be like, they'll be confused. There'll be a little groans. But what happened is, you're going to figure out your pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is only funny to me. Is this crowd like me? Nope. Do another joke. Okay, have a good joke.
Yeah.
How are we handling that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, let's do a pun. Let's feel this crowd out. And suddenly, it's like, okay, I think they're going to laugh at this, and this,
mm-hmm.
and not gonna laugh at this, and this, and suddenly you can actually almost adjust your material.
It's amazing.
It takes practice.
Yeah,
that's
I don't think I'm there yet.
No, but I'm just trying to
make
you think about humor, right? And if you want, I say this. There's one of my favorite comedy spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comedians, he would rehearse at a laundromat.
Cool.
You want to know why?
How come?
No one wants to be in a laundromat. If you make that crowd laugh, right?
If you make that crowd laugh, you're
right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why he did it. He would rehearse the material here. He would bomb. I'm not saying go do that, because that takes a lot of guts, but if you could get that crowd going.
If you get anything going.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And if you can't, well, then the jokes are, they might still be good, but not. Yeah,
they're not great.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting.
Yeah. If you want to see how funny you really are, go places where no one laughs. Or I think really? Of it, why not? If you can make, and if you go, if you want to see how funny you really are, mm-hmm. where in the city would you go to tell a joke that no one would laugh at? And if you can make, and since it's a little challenge right for yourself, right? Can you make this crowd laugh?
That's cool.
Right?
Yeah, I should try that.
Don't do it alone. Just bring someone. Bring someone with you in case they want to lynch you. But I mean, that's, again, it's because humor is such a subjective thing. Mm-hmm. It's such a subjective thing. You got to figure out what makes you laugh. Because again, mm-hmm. and then you got, again, full circle. It goes back to you. What do you genuinely care about? What makes you laugh? Mm-hmm. And you just got to figure out how to, again, tell that story.
Yeah.
To different crowds. It's on the wrong, right?
Yeah.
And good humor has just a touch of real gravity to it, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your best joke?
I don't really do jokes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really have a joke.
So what makes you laugh then?
I don't know. I think just like, I do think like humor that has that touch of realism, like that touch of like, it's like, oh, that's funny, but that's really dark too. Like so, the dark humor.
So I'm writing a novel right now. My opening scene, mm-hmm. The roof is actually occasionally falling in. Why not?
Why not,
right? But I can have fun with that. They're actually taking bets.
Oh.
They're actually taking bets. Like a little dark humor. Yeah. How long before the ceiling just completely gives way?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right?
Dark but funny.
Yeah, right? Dark but funny, right? So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's the whole, how do I put this? The whole secret, like I said, these are things I've learned. Now, again, not everything I'm saying here is going to work for you.
Yeah.
You got to find out what works for you. But if some of this works for you,
it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you wanted a positive. So, I the only thing I'm going to say is, honestly, you know the best way to find the positives I find in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, shut the phone up and just go out and walk into the world.
It's hard.
Well, not for me.
For me it is.
Yeah. Because again, it's... What I find when you look at the world in general, right? Mm-hmm. Coolest thing I find doing what I'm doing is how similar everybody is and how we're not that different.
Mm-hmm.
Though the phone I find sometimes with all the things we absorb either through social media or through whatever other distractions we get into, that can color like the world is doomed. I don't know that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we can always talk about like global warming and the next evil pandemic, the wars, and the wars, the never-ending wars, and all that is going on. But it's also you and I are having a conversation in your house.
Yeah.
By humor. You have a dog that just wants to be pet. Oh, now just wants to sleep.
Yeah, she's and, old. She.
Yeah. So now she just wants to sleep. Just leave me alone.
I just sleep.
She just woke up, like, oh, who dares disturb my slumber, right?
Give her 10 minutes and she'll be like, pet me again.
Yeah, exactly, right? But there's little joys. Like, there's little joys everywhere. And there's some really good... And I remember yesterday, I was at the comic book shop because I'm a comic book junkie.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this conversation with the gal behind the counter. She's a nurse as well as working the comic shop. She's like, why is... Like, she's like, I don't know what I want to do. I go, well, okay. She's talking about all these like things. I could tell she's struggling with like what the comfortable path is. Like, well, what do you want to do? Don't cry. Just be honest with yourself. Right. So you have this like meaningful conversation that may have shaped her life. Again, there's all these right. All these beginnings. There's all these little. There's lots of little moments for joy, every single day. And I truly think that there's magic and good people. Everywhere, and the best way to find those things is to completely eliminate the distractions that say that the world is not such a good place.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So you decided to do this. Why did you decide to do this?
Well, I didn't really just decide. It was, I had to recite poetry for my school. It's part of our curriculum. And I did Paper People, and I kind of was coerced into doing my school regionals, kind of, and won. And then I submitted a video to the Poetry and Voice and got into the semifinals. Did the competition like just last week, and I think really I only really started poetry last week. The week, the Poetry and Voice week, just changed my life. It was, we were around so many different poets, and we had to write poetry every day. We did we did workshops with poetry. And I think that like just being immersed in poetry and not just reciting other people's poems, though, which is a lot of fun, writing your own work and reciting your own work to a crowd, I think I've just kind of started to learn the beauty of it and the magic of it and just the, mm-hmm. I don't know, I've gotten a little bit obsessed.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. Did you have like a myriad of interests prior to this?
No, not really.
No?
No. I mean, the festival really, I mean, if I think about like when I started writing, would be after that poetry festival, after I watched everyone perform, I was like, wow. That's poetry. It's insane.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
So I'm going to ask a big question.
Yeah.
What do you want to do with it?
I don't know. I'm going to school for psychology next year.
Okay.
And I want to do animal-assisted therapy. But it's like poetry has made me think of maybe like also perhaps pursuing like poetry with therapy. Like, because mm-hmm. it's such a therapeutical thing to do just for yourself. Just it's such a good way of connecting with your own emotions. Mm-hmm. I think that perhaps it would be cool to do like some. I'm doing my minor in poetry next year, so
that's cool.
Or creative writing, but
I have a friend of mine. She's a musician. She started doing piano stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff is based on meditation.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. She's fascinated. She's also fascinated with healing the mind and healing the soul. So it's like. Yeah, you can definitely do something. Like, the cool thing about words, any words in general, like reading in general, mm-hmm. is it teaches empathy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe just, in a sense of poetry, in psychology, this is just spitballing here more than anything else. If I were to encourage people to write poetry in psychology, mm-hmm. it would help them better understand what's going on within themselves, mm-hmm. and maybe, just maybe, they believe they've done terrible things, they deserve to be where they're at, to forgive themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what poetry starting to do for me. It's just learning to forgive myself.
What do you gotta forgive yourself?
I don't know. I think we all hate our bodies. I think we all hate, like, we all do things to our bodies that aren't necessarily great. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, poetry is just like kind of writing it down and just being like, you know what? There were moments where I thought I didn't weigh the right amount or whatnot. It's just kind of like writing that down and like seeing that that's how I felt. It's like, dang, like my body's done so much for me. It's just learning to, it just, I don't know, it's been very therapeutic and it's been helping me heal myself and forgive myself. And learn to do better and love my body better, you know.
No, I do. I think one of the hardest things when you're younger is when you feel different. I think we all feel this on some level. We feel different from everybody else, and why can't we be more like so and so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and there might be someone you looked up to in high school, maybe a friend, maybe it's mm-hmm. whatever. Right, and you're like, why can't I be more like them? Why am I like me? Right, and then at some point, and it sounds like this has happened to you, mm-hmm. you look at that big part of you and you're like, you know what? This might be some of the best parts of me. Mm-hmm. Big question. Sometimes we don't hate ourselves because of it's bad.
No, it's more like insecurities.
Well, there's some insecurities, yeah. I would go the other way. sometimes we realize we're capable of great things, mm-hmm. and that scares us. There's one of my favorite quotes. One of my favorite quotes is it's not that we fear that we are small, it's that we are powerful. Mm-hmm. That's what scares us. Because when we have power, it comes expectations of what to do with it.
Yeah.
And that frightens us even more than say, like, you know, I'm insignificant, because then that's easy. All you have to do is do nothing and you can stay insignificant,
yeah.
right? But if you believe you have potential, that you could be great, and you look at those differences, and those differences point out those truths, mm-hmm. it can be more frightening, because you see things differently. You're smart. You see you have capabilities. You can perform in front of a crowd, make them all laugh. That's a really special gift. And suddenly, all right, you're like, I can do great things, and then you get that expectation of, well, shit, what do I do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So, and the answer, and I find, again, as I got older, when I was younger, I feared failure. Mm-hmm. When I was older, I had to deal with fear of success. And it's the same fear. It's just, one's a fear of change. Fear of failure is, no matter what you're going to do, it's not going to make any difference. Mm-hmm. Fear of success is, I do something amazing, and I don't know where to go from here. Either mm-hmm. way, it's a fear of change.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, yeah.
I understand.
Right. Does that make sense? Now, I don't know what, again, growing up, it's probably more becoming comfortable with who you are and who you're
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Probably than this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Yeah.
But I find that, like, again, our differences can go both ways. It can make us feel insignificant, mm-hmm. or we just realize we are capable of so much more. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which one it was for you, but
I mean, I think it was a mix of both. I think I'm learning that my words have more power than I give them credit for, mm-hmm. and I think that I have more power and I have more influence than I give myself credit for.
Absolutely,
you know? which is scary. It's a scary thought to think of the
I've said this to a few of my guests in last. Again, that whole write what you care about thing. Mm-hmm. It matters because you matter. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. You matter. You're here. And the beautiful thing about life is we get to make mistakes. We're allowed to make mistakes. Our impact is not so big that nothing we do is irreversible. Mm-hmm. But we change people. Every time we talk to them, we interact with them, we do things with mm-hmm. them. We change people. And that's, we can change them for the better or for the worse. And that takes, again, doesn't take very much either way, mm-hmm. right? So it's something, when you think about it,
yeah,
it's like, wow.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, these are things to think about as you get older, again, / wiser. I'm not...
More insightful.
People say that. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. So do you want a book? Do you want a CD? What do you want to do with your work?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think I'm currently just learning how to write poetry. I don't know how that'll take me. I'm really just going with the flow with it. I think I'm just going to continue writing and continue performing it. And, you know, and if enough people like it, then maybe I'll write a book, or maybe I'll... You know, I don't know.
I used to give Miranda Crock, so I had a lot of grief for not having a book. And the reason why, and here's the reason why.
Yeah.
Okay, this goes back to the you're, how to put this, on a business level.
Yeah.
You're the product.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
How can people support you? And that's why the physical things matter, mm-hmm. right? And however you want to do it, that's your... And if you just, again, I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Even if you make it a psychological, like, healing tape, or an exercise, or it's part of the charm of the show now, right? Mm-hmm. So, people are going to want to say, hey, I knew Maria Lynn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it may not be now, mm-hmm. but... when you, let's say you say, I want, like, down the road, if you keep performing, yeah. keep doing stuff, you're like, I really dig this and I love this. Yeah, you're gonna, yeah. like, I do it sooner than later, right? If that's the case. And if you decide, you know what, I'm just gonna teach people, I'm gonna use my psychology to heal the world.
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that either, yeah. right?
I have so many people around me that can guide me either way.
Sure.
That I think I'm going to see where it takes me. I'm going to do my university education and,
so you wait, know. Are you staying in town?
Yeah, I am. I'm staying. I'm going to Mount Royal next year.
You're going to Mount Royal? Yeah. Oh, that's too far from here.
No, it's like a nice walk.
Most days. Some winters are even like.
No, winters I'll be driving, but... During the summer, it's a nice peaceful walk.
I'm looking forward to not being here in the wintertime this year.
Yeah? Where are you going?
So, when the show starts, I'll be going, first off, I'm going to say west. I have some contract stuff here. Mm-hmm. So, I will be going to, first, Vancouver's my test run.
Oh, cool.
Vancouver's my yes. test run. From there, it's going to be, it depends. It might be Washington. Mm-hmm. But or California. It depends. There's a I interviewed Marissa Mayer. She said she'd come back on the show and I went on the road. So,
awesome.
So she's been on the show already, so she said she'd do it. So that'd be kinda cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so I'll stop by Washington if she's available, and if she's not, I have people in California doing my show. I've met people from all across the world, not just Canada, the United States, the world. And especially during the pandemic, the pandemic for me, the best thing about it was I was able to connect with so many different people. Mm-hmm. And I have friends legitimately in places I cannot believe. So I'm going to be like California, mm-hmm. in Arizona, and Colorado, then probably somewhere in between all that. I come back up here for a friend's wedding.
Wow.
And then I'm going to head to east, to mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, Ohio area. Mm-hmm. Then, before the winter hits, then when it comes the winter, I'll be on a beach somewhere, right?
Probably that'd be nice. Yeah.
Probably hitting around 11 and a half my age, probably. I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, that'll be my winter. I hope. Now, I'm doing a show here for a client. I am praying to God we're done filming before wintertime, because if I have to come back up here in the wintertime, I'm going to be openly weeping. you'll just hear like this like terrible like tears coming down. It's like, where the hell is that? And it's like, oh, it's winter and he's back in town. So you can hear me a while away, right? But I'm going to be going all over. And then next year, I might be going to England. I have friends there. I'll be in Hawaii, possibly. I have friends there.
Oh.
For me, it's about adventure and connection for at this point in my life. And I'm looking kind of where I fit in the grand scheme of things. I know your father enjoys the way I approach yeah. things. And I'm glad we met him. But yeah, it's just sometimes you just know you don't fit here anymore
yeah.
the same way. And again, I'm in a very different headspace than when I left here last mm-hmm. time. And I think, yeah, I need to figure out where I fit in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You have to send postcards.
I should. I gotta figure out a way to do it. Actually, that's a good idea. You gave me a good idea. I appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah. yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Places you've gone.
The places you will go.
Doctor
Seuss. I'm a comic book guy, so mm-hmm. Dr. Seuss is one of my favorite. Like, he's a great poet, but he's also a great graphic novelist.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's in my top three on my graphic novelists of all time.
Wow.
Who else can take 50 words and make them amazing?
He's pretty talented.
Yes.
He's incredibly amazing.
Yes. So.
He's one of my friend's favorite poet.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's a fantastic poet. I mean, his stuff's simplistic, but so what? Simple is actually... So, I respect simple because of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Tetris
is so fun.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
The best stuff in life I have found... Okay, so the best toy in the universe is still Lego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple. You're just putting blocks together. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
Tetris is about playing with honestly, it's algorithm training. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Tetris really is, but it's so simple. You just put blocks together. It's not complex at all. And it's fun. Yeah. And again, people that discover that stuff, those are the real geniuses. And overcomplicating stuff.
Yeah.
Give me something nice and simple that I can get and understand and can have fun with. I will be happy. I'm a simple guy at this point in my life.
That's fair.
Yeah.
See, I do like my math games, but a good Tetris is fun too.
So what's your math games?
Ken, I do Sudoku.
Sudoku's cool.
Sudoku's cool. Ken is like Sudoku, but you don't have numbers. Like you have calculations. It's like you have to do like.
You have to show me this when we get off.
It's fun. It's a fun math game. It's a little complicated, but
it's more complex. It sounds like. So was math your first like major strength? You know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So.
That only makes sense. I'm almost surprised. Do you play music?
I do.
What do you play?
I used to play the piano. I do some musical theater, so I do like music kind of singing.
So you're not surprised. So math and music are essentially the same thing.
Yeah, the mathematical.
Well, yeah. If you break music down, like it's literally one of the purest math things you'll mm-hmm. ever see, right? Mm-hmm. Just music, right? Some of it is more discordant, right? Classical music is almost a giant equation. One of my favorite bands, Tool, did a whole song called Schism. It's a math equation. That's all it is.
Oh, cool.
They just took a math equation and they harmonized it. That's all they did.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they added some lyrics to it, but it's do, 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 do the whole time. It's just an equation the whole way, right? So,
wow.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna ask this. So, just did people fascinate you more than numbers, or?
I don't know. I like both. I'm not really all that picky. I like numbers. I like the way it's just very logical. Yeah. And I'm a very logical person in the way I think and the way. I mean, even the poems that I like are very like mathematical. That's why I like Harry Baker so much, just because he's a mathematician. But
I gotta ask, what's your music? What's your music to your taste? What do you like?
Heavy metal.
So for me, it's Amon Amarth.
Yeah.
Epica.
Mm-hmm.
Amorphis.
Mm-hmm.
Elevite.
Mm-hmm.
Tarja Turunen. Do you know any of these people?
No.
What do you like? What's your metal?
Oh gosh, I can't really think of names. I just listen to like radio on the radio because that's really the only time I have to listen to music.
So when we get off the air, I'm gonna recommend two bands for you.
Okay.
One of them is Nightwish.
Mm-hmm.
Nightwish is they're a Finnish band.
Yeah.
All of them are classically trained.
Cool.
They're now. At this particular point in time,
yeah.
I had to pick and choose. I cut all of my stuff down to stuff that I really, really like. And so Tarja used to be the lead singer of the band. Mm-hmm. So I kept her stuff and I let the Nightwish stuff go.
Mm-hmm.
Tarja is also really good, but she's harder to find.
Yeah.
Right? So she's harder to find. So Nightwish, though, just pick some of their Nightwish is early, pick anything you like.
Yeah.
They have almost like a fantasy element to it.
Ooh, cool.
So you really dig that? Yeah. You really dig that? But they're classically trained and you can hear it like good, like a lot of metal and jazz are both mm-hmm. are anyone in those genres loves music. Deep down, they're the biggest music fans in the world.
Yeah, because it's such technical, like the musicality of it is so technical and so precise. You have to love music to be able to do that.
They're just coming at it in slightly different ways. But they're essentially, they're giant music fans. What I find is I'm a European power metal guy. All their stuff's like generally classically trained stuff. Most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have like a little Viking metal that's a Monomars. And then LVT is kind of somewhere more, a little bit more. I actually have a buddy that you actually used to perform with them.
Cool.
But yeah, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you meet doing this, you meet people. Doing what you're doing, like you go on stage, you take a moment and you introduce yourself, you just meet incredible people.
It's amazing. That's incredible. I mean, I definitely understand that. I think I've met a lot of really cool, very, you know, insightful people just through standing on a stage and reciting poetry.
That's why I think going out in the world is such a wonderful thing, right? Because you go out and do things, you meet and do things, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I came here, right? Mm-hmm. Meet the lovely Miss Maria before she becomes a rock star.
I don't know about that, but...
Well, you never know. Listen, the way I look at it, honestly, is you're at an age where you're still figuring some stuff out.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with being there. The only advice that truly matters, honestly, with you at this point, mm-hmm. what do you really want to do?
Yep.
And whatever that is, be honest with yourself. And if you can do that, and if you can do that your whole life,
mm-hmm.
you'll never be steered wrong. I'm not going to promise you won't have good times or bad times. You'll have all of those things.
Yeah.
But you will never be steered wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find yourself on the right path, no matter where you land.
Mm-hmm. I do think that, I think I have an idea of what I want to do with my life. It's just, I'm not sure how I want to get there. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
I know what my end goal is to be. I want to do animal assisted therapy. I just, figuring out the whole route to get there is a lot more complicated than...
Yes and no. Training, like, you know what the training you're going to need to do. That part is easy.
Yeah.
Right? That's the easy part. Here's the not so easy part, right? It's nerve, like, okay, right now I'm getting ready to go on the road. It's nerve wracking. Mm-hmm. I have no idea completely what I'm doing. I have some idea, but I have no idea, right? At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so on one hand, it's a little terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm like, well, this is like anything else in life. You just do what you know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bet you know what the first step is.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's do my undergrad.
right?
Yeah.
That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first step. You know that step.
Yeah.
So what's the second step?
Doing my master's.
Do you want to do your master's?
Yes.
Okay, so that's your second step.
Yeah.
After you do your master's, what's the next step?
I'll probably work as a therapist while I work to do my PhD.
Okay, yeah. So you're going to go all the way. You're going to have a big paper that says, I am awesome and made of cheese. Okay,
very cool. I just like school.
There's nothing wrong with liking school, right? Yeah. Or I actually like school too. I never got a full diploma because for me, it just, I liked learning.
Yeah.
The paper doesn't matter to me.
That's fair.
Right? Yeah. It doesn't really matter because you know. What the paper proves is you will show up and do a task and accomplish the task.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the paper really says.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, now it'll look nice and wonderful as a PhD. Yeah. I'm not going to disrespect the work it'll take for you to get there. But that's basically what it says at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say, and this is what I will, now here's the second, the last question. You have some idea of some of the steps.
Yeah.
What's the stuff that makes you uncomfortable in the process?
I think for me is with psychology, because I want to work with specifically children with animals, I worry that I won't be a good psychologist or I'll.
Why?
I don't, it's just like, I think it's just a fear, like I won't be able to listen well enough, or I'll cause more damage than good.
You're a fantastic listener.
Well, thank you.
I've talked to you for an hour. Like, you're much more comfortable listening than you are, and that's not, I don't say that like as a negative. It's just that you're much more. You like listening to what's going on around you, and then making a judgment accordingly.
Yeah.
That's fundamentally. Psychology is the art of listening. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just listening and understanding what's going on with the person. Most of us, when we're going through something, the big and more important thing is that we're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If we're hurt, even if we don't get the result we're hoping for,
we
feel better.
Yeah.
Right.
Just letting it all out.
Not just letting it all out. That's part of it.
Yeah.
But that someone cares enough to hear it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The important part. That is, That's the real, letting it out doesn't matter, and if no one listens, you still will carry it with you. But when someone actually listens,
yeah,
you let go. Right? It's easier to let it go because someone cares. That's the real secret.
Yeah.
If you got that, you'll be just fine.
Yes, just, I hope so.
No, I know so. You'll be just fine.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you'll be just fine. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. It's always that's a fear. But so I have actually right now I have 11 rules to success. Mm-hmm. Technically 12. I haven't quite named right, but I have 11. The fifth rule. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say the PG way. Let's say it the PG way. Okay. Get out of your way. A lot of times in this life, we have this, see, life's hard enough, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And I know you got muscles, swimming muscles and all that mm-hmm. stuff, and you can handle a lot of things, but life doesn't necessarily, the biggest thing that defeats us is ourselves. Mm-hmm. The fears, the doubts, the insecurities, again, those things, you will project those things subconsciously, right? Mm-hmm. If you let yourself become afraid or fearful, right, then you gotta ask yourself, why does this scare me so much?
Yeah.
Like, right, why does it scare me so much? Is it, what will I do to this, right? For example, someone that hates conflict, it's fear they're gonna break friendships. So they avoid conflict no matter what. Ironically, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because by avoiding conflict, they can't be honest and trustworthy to the people that they were friends with. And when mm-hmm. that happens, they lose the friendships anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So for you, those roadblocks, those fears, those insecurities are, right? The big mistake is, okay, so the only way you can really mess up is if you don't do the things you know you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So when you have a fear, is it because it's not the right opportunity for me or the right way for me to do it? Mm-hmm. Or am I scared of it? Mm-hmm. If it's the latter, then what you gotta be aware of is that fear, right? You have to at that point, you must do it.
Yeah.
Because it terrifies you.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. I used to ride horses and I still ride horses.
Yeah.
And I think that the first thing you learn on riding horses is if you fall down, the first thing you have to do is as soon as you fall down, you have that instant fear, is you have to get back on. You have to do it again.
Yes. So. Sit the saddle, ride the horse.
Sorry?
Sit the saddle, ride the horse. I dated a barrel racer once upon a time. So yeah, I remember. Yeah. That was where our instructor always said, sit the saddle, ride the horse, if you fall, get up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. You have to get up and you have to get back on.
Yeah, and that's life. That's life in general, right? Yeah. You're going to fall off the horse a few times. So those fears, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you're facing a doubt or insecurity, yeah, right? Again, that's the question you need to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. Is this the right opportunity for me? Sometimes that's not going, like, you'll know. Or am I scared? Mm-hmm. And if you're scared, then you know what you have to do, right? But again, I'm making this sound really, really easy.
It's not.
No. No, it's simple.
Yeah.
But it's not easy, and it's a lot of learning about who you are, mm-hmm. and some of that's going to be the next few years.
Yeah, probably the rest of my life, really, is learning to.
Oh, absolutely. But you get so in your 20s, right, or as of right now, you're discovering stuff. In your 30s, you realize that you don't care as much, but you don't need to care as well. It's supposed to be crap you care about mm-hmm. in your 20s, 40s. You realize that there really isn't that much you can need to care about at all. Mm-hmm. And then 50, you become a supervillain. But I mean, so if you do hear things on the paper about me, then sorry, not sorry. Right? right. So all of which to say that, like, you will become more at ease with yourself as you get older. That doesn't mean you don't have flaws or that there aren't things to learn. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to be as insecure about you. You'll be like, okay, and then something, and this gets really interesting too, is some of those flaws, quote-unquote flaws you have, you'll accept them. And you'll be like, you know what? I'm not perfect. I don't gotta be.
Yeah.
there comes a point when you're like 60 or 70 where it's almost like you become a kid again. And you're like, I can do what I want. It's like, yes, you can. and when you're that old, you're kind of bulletproof, which is really interesting to watch. I've seen it with a few of my family members. Like, I'm sure you got grandparents too. You're like, this is do what they please. I'm jealous.
Right? There's no fear. There's just,
yeah,
I want to do it, so I'm doing it.
That's it. And that's, and that'll be a process. As you get older, those fears will dissipate a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Right, and one way or the other, either you will discover those things yourself, or and you'll just become more comfortable in your skin, or life will just put you in the line of fire. One or the other. Miss Coco, I should say. Yeah. So, as we get near the end of this, I'm gonna ask you. Well, I hope you enjoyed this.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. It's been so. I feel like I've learned so much. I feel like I should have brought like a notebook. So I should have written.
So here's a good thing. I'll send you when this goes up. I'll send you a video, and you can listen to all this stuff. And you'd be like, this guy was rambling here and here and here and here, and right. But he's got a point here. Write this down, right? So I say it like that because again, you're just getting started, and whatever I'm gonna say it like this. First off, whatever you choose to do, I wish you well.
Thank you.
Yeah. And second point, so you're still doing poetry stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any events or stuff coming up in like, this will be June when it airs or July when it airs?
Yeah.
So you got any master plans in June, July at this moment in time?
Ooh, I don't know. My teacher's invited me to some poetry slam stuff. So I'm doing a poetry slam competition at my school. Ooh, sorry, this weekend.
So you're gonna Hulk up, like wear like a lavish costume, gonna go up there and kick some butt.
Yeah.
excellent. What I was going to ask then is, so you don't have a release yet. Do you have a place where you regularly post your poems where people can find you?
No. I have like my Instagram, but I don't post anything there. Mostly because it's like, I guess there's, as we were talking about, there is that fear of, others not liking it and,
Would you like one final tiny piece of advice, if you can get this into your head now, might save you some worries later. You're going to write stuff, you're going to stand for things that are going to piss some people off.
Yeah.
You just are. That's everybody. So, what you should do, again, we're going to go full circle here, back to the very beginning. It's about what you care about. And so, if someone gets really affronted by what you care about, do you really want them in your life?
Yeah, no.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So there's that. And here's the other thing, too. So, Howard Stern figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump perfected this. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. So when Howard Stern was in his heyday, people would listen to his show. Would listen to his show. They would listen to it for about 45 minutes. The people that hated his show would listen to him for an hour and a half. Human psychology is a really interesting thing, right? So, now Trump perfected this.
Mm-hmm.
The people that speak about Donald Trump the most are not his supporters, but the people that hate him the most. Yeah, right?
That's very true.
Right? So, what I would tell you, and don't feel ashamed of this, people that really love you, support them, and that supports you.
Mm-hmm.
People that really hate you, use them.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Use them.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting way of thinking about it.
Because, I'm a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a businessman first and foremost. I think about things in terms of making money.
Mm-hmm.
If I have someone that invested in my stuff, they hate me so much they're that invested, shit, they might as well make a buck off them.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really callous.
Yeah, so but like, it's true. Yeah,
it's just the way it is, right? You can't please everybody. The important thing is, you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And say, I like who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
The rest. Right?
Yeah.
Now again, this is why I'm going to be a super villain at 50. But I'm just saying, right?
Yeah.
So what you should do, So you should mention your Instagram here for now. You really should.
Okay.
Because one, it's going to find people find you down the road. Number two, if you do decide to do a web page, a Substack, whatever the hell it is you're going to do, and you should. Mm-hmm. I'm saying like this too. Whether you go somewhere with your poetry or not, mm-hmm. what you care about matters. And you are the kind of person that's going to need a place to put it down.
Yeah.
So find a place. And again, for you, because you're a psychologist, one of the biggest things you're going to have to learn on the journey is making connections.
Yeah.
So find a spot. Like that we can talk about after if you want some advice or where you need to go, where it's kind of mm-hmm. what's best fit for you. But tell the audience, right? And give yourself your full name.
Okay.
And where people can find you.
Well, I'm Maria Spindola, and my Instagram is DUDA, little underscore, 1928.
All right.
Yeah.
Go there, subscribe. She's funny when she does post stuff, so it's all good. And that will do it, guys, for this episode of Just Joshing. Thanks for supporting us. This will be on again. If you are watching this, it's on Patreon. Thanks for your support. And I will see you guys next time.
Coming this March exclusively to my Patreon is my first written illustrated graphic novel by yours truly. It is a homage to Fahrenheit 451, as Guy Montag now has to serve out 30 days without technology with the lights out, and in that process he discovers a talent he never had, drawing life into the world. Now as his sentence dwindles down and he's ready to return to society, maybe, just maybe, he has found something more to go for. Exclusively on Patreon starting this March. Check it out now in the episode description below.
Josh.